I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Puckle!
Puckle.
Welcome to another episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my wonderful co-host. I've got Linian.
Hello. I'm not the last one.
No, you're not. And we've got Shark Finnegan. I almost called you Shark Spieligan because it is later than we usually record.
Hello.
Daylight Savings Time's doing a number on me.
Oh, yeah. I am destroyed.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm tired.
My body's confused. It's just very confused. For those of you listening at home, I'm going to break the fourth wall very quickly before I do my normal intro. We are recording on Wednesday night. That changes a lot of the way things are done on the show. Obviously, if there's news after Wednesday night, it is not in this podcast. So please bear with us, as well as like if you're like, my mailbag didn't get read. It's because it's Wednesday night and you sent it on Thursday. I apologize in advance. So I'm going to begin now. Welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything Pokemon from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. I am very excited to get today's episode. I'm excited that we got an episode this week, too. Man, my schedule's just been nuts. It's been nuts. It's been absolutely nuts. Like, I think, like, the next few days, like, I'm just booked solid. Like Thursdays, I go bowling on Thursday nights, as I'm wont to do. It's actually because a bunch of guys at work, we hired a guy I used to work with, and since he didn't have anything to do, he's just like, hey, do you want to join a bowling league? I know you bowl. And I'm like, I haven't seriously bowled in like years, but sure, let's go bowling. And it's really bad because like they've made me like I'm back in shape, bowling shape, if that makes sense. And I'm like at the peak of my game right now.
Ooh, that's good.
It's both good and like, I don't know. I like being the guy, you know, you watch Caddyshack and you watch Chevy Chase on Caddyshack. I'm Chevy Chase on Caddyshack.
I do not watch Caddyshack,
The reference is there's a guy who goes golfing and he does very, very well because nobody's keeping score. And then they're just like, oh, he's really good. And they like have him do a golf tournament to like, I forget what the exact plot is. They have him do a golf tournament where they have to keep score and he just does terrible when they keep score. And that's how I used to be during my off season. And now I'm just like back at it. And like we're in like a beer league too, which is really bad because I'm the best bowler in it by like, I think my handicap is like 20 pins higher than the next best bowler. And it's just,
I didn't know there was a handicap in bowling.
Not handicap. My average is higher, 20 pins higher. They do it. Oh, so okay. They do it because then you can bowl with whoever you want and it's an even playing field.
Nice.
League bowling, you don't actually need to be good at bowling to be good at league bowling. It's a whole thing.
You just have to be better than your average the previous.
I see.
Yeah, you just have to beat your average each week, and then you're going to win league bowling. So I'm actually like a terrible person for league bowling because I typically don't improve much over
a
season.
You do so well, you can't improve.
Yeah, I don't improve super well over their season. So, like, I think my average has only gone up something like 6 or 7 pins this season, which is not a lot. But I am like the best bowler. Like, I consistently perform well. It's just that I'm not consistently overperforming. Yeah.
There's a joke in here about quarterly reports or selling things, but I'm not going to find it.
Yeah, we've got D&D on Friday. And then on Saturday, I've got a friend's wedding shower and another friend's birthday party. So it's just like a book day. Yeah, it's awful, man.
To do that, now that I think about it.
Yeah. So it's,
yeah, you got to deal with your plans.
Yeah, you have to do that soon.
I'm
yeah.
so bad at getting married, guys.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Honestly, you just like go get married, and that's the best part.
Yeah. I mean,
as someone who's done it, you know.
I think I'm the only one here who hasn't. So
yeah.
I'll just say this.
Yeah.
There's so much that's just like, oh, you're gonna do this? Like, that's a thing? Be like, yes, and it's $700 to do it. I'm like, oh, okay.
I don't know that I did any of that. Ours was like fairly simple-ish. Like we did the wedding, and then the reception was like, thankfully we found a venue that did like everything right.
Yeah, that's what we're doing as well.
Yeah, so that made it super easy.
Yeah,
and then I mean we just did like food, DJ, and then send off. We actually I don't know if I told this story on the podcast ever, but we are the reason the wedding venue we used no longer allows sparklers as a send off.
What happened?
We are the reason. So my wife thought it'd be great to do sparklers as a send-off, and you know what, that's a great idea. And it was a beautiful summer day. We got married in the summer in June, and it's time for the send-off, you know. And so it starts drizzling outside a little bit. Not like it's not raining, it's just drizzling outside, right?
This is already better than what I was worried about, which involved the words sparkler bomb. So
oh, wait. We also had an open bar at my wedding. this is important to the story. And so I had a friend, Eric, that he was an engineer who partook in the open bar. And he was trying to be very helpful. And he went outside and he was passing out sparklers. All the sparklers, by the way, were held in glass vases that people were supposed to pick up and take out. You know, he was being very helpful by handing out sparklers and lighting them. And so what he decided to do, he's like, I'll take this whole vase with me and I'll pass them out outside. And then he was doing that and he decided, oh man, wouldn't it be faster instead of taking one out, lighting one, I just lit all of them at once and then pass them out.
Oh no.
as he's holding the glass vase and his new wife is holding an umbrella above his head because it's drizzling. And so Eric goes ahead and lights all of the sparklers and immediately shatters the vase in his hand, burns his hand. Thankfully, one of the bridesmaids is a nurse, so she fixed it afterwards. But what happened was, because there were so many sparklers in a concentrated area, enough sparks flew up and hit the umbrella, and there was a fireball that caused a whole bunch of smoke, and we had to like shut the doors to the venue. Because the smoke was coming in.
Caused the fireball.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And so that venue no longer allows sparklers.
Mm-hmm.
It was
understandable.
Yeah, it was. It's a wild and crazy time. Those are some of my favorite wedding photos.
New fear unlocked, by the way.
Yeah, don't recommend sparklers as your send off. But my favorite wedding photos are because the photographers took all of the pictures during the time it happened, which was I am so grateful for those photographers only for that moment. Being around for that moment and being like, oh yeah, we snapshot the whole thing. And my favorite, we have one photo that we keep above our mantle that's literally just like, it looks like it looks like the aftermath of like a battlefield. People are just like wandering around in the smoke outside. it's my favorite photo from that wedding. It's so funny.
Oh. Especially,
yeah, it's great.
Get the picture of everything going up. It's like, oh, what's that from? Oh, my wedding. What?
Yeah, exactly. It's great. It's just like a bunch of people in suits, like walking around dazed in the smoke, walking in different directions because they don't know what just happened. But yeah, good times. Yeah, that's one of my wedding stories. But yeah.
I hope to have fewer.
I don't know. It was definitely the most memorable wedding I've been to, in terms of events outside of like the actual marriage.
No, it's usually a good thing if there's a few stories. Maybe not. Yeah. So maybe not as hot of stories, but you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, they've legit banned sparklers though.
Yeah.
There. So it's again, don't recommend.
That'll be a time.
Yeah, just don't use sparklers as a send-off. It's fine. Like,
yeah, I think I can safely not do that.
I'll just bring some to your wedding for you. It's okay.
Please do not. Mostly because you're flying, and I don't want to hear about some guy getting stopped at SeaTac because he was trying to rig a sparkler bomb.
Okay, so fun flying story.
No,
it has nothing to do with sparklers now. Just like how bad TSA is.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I work in a lab, and sometimes I need tools to work in said lab, right? Like, I'll need pliers, or I'll need, like, wire cutters, or something like that.
Totally reasonable.
And sometimes, like, work just doesn't have it, and so I'll just, like, go buy it, and I'll keep it for myself. So what'll happen is I'll go buy it, I'll fix what I need to in the lab, and then I'll throw it in my backpack and take it home. And so, one time I went to Destin, Florida for work, and on the way back, I got pulled over by security, like, in the Destin, Florida airport, and they're like, sir, we got to check your bag. And they go in my bag and they find my wire cutters because I had thrown them in my bag to take them home from work and I never took them out. And I forgot that I hadn't taken them out. And one, the TSA agent was very kind. She's like, I'll go ask to see if you can take this with you. And I'm like, I'm sure they won't let me. Please just keep them. I will go buy them for $8 at Lowe's again. It's not a big deal. But she did it. But that means that they were in my backpack when I left Dayton, Ohio, which means that TSA just did not check and I just got them through without any problem. So,
TSA story was I was trying to get home and we got stuck in basically a blizzard that whipped up real fast as we were driving out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hop out of the car. My mom's like, all right, you got to go fly through security. Is there any, you know, she's like, you don't have any guns or knives, joking. And I went, what was in that sushi set that you got me for Christmas? And she goes, pull it out. So I fling it back through the window, take off through it. And she mailed it out. And that's why I have a knife in my drawer with TSA pre-check laser etched into it.
That's funny.
That's a good one. That's a good one. This is a Pokemon podcast, everyone. Welcome to Puckle. But I don't know. Like, the first part of the show is just like anything. I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You have any fun stories, Shark? You have any fun stories you want to share?
If we want to try to reel it back a little bit into Pokemon,
okay.
I did play an opponent recently just in a draft league.
Yeah.
Who did one of the best counter sun Pokemon that I've seen that was like this close to actually working.
Oh, yeah. What was it?
Because I have Ninetales as my sun setter and I led with it into an Azumarill.
Draft league, right?
Yeah, draft league. Yeah. Okay. And I fought against an Azumarill.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm like, what do I do? Because, like, is this, like, because I know this Azumarill is going to be hard countering my Walking Wake in the back. I'm like, all right, I'll see what it does. Let me see if it's Sap Sipper or not. Let me test it. I do Solar Beam, and it's like, oh, it's Sap Sipper. And then it clicks Encore. And I'm like, let me go switch out. Or no, it clicked Whirlpool. That's what it did. It clicked Whirlpool first. I'm like, oh, what are you trying to do here? And then I just click, luckily, thanks to the DLC, it gets Baton Pass. So I just Baton Pass out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was Whirlpool, Encore, Bounce, and what was the last move?
Just to stall more turns?
Protect. Oh, just literally just to protect. Yeah, I think it was just protect.
Oh, just to stall out the sun.
It was literally stall at the stun and kill the Ninetales.
Oh my
that was
gosh.
What it was trying to do. I'm like, oh my god, this is a great set. Too bad Ninetales got Baton Pass.
Oh no.
Yeah, but I'm just dang, that was pretty
sick. Shark before he clicks Baton Pass. I'm about to ruin this whole man's career.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Then he goes into Raging Bolt and just destroys the Azumarill.
No, I went to Exeggutor just to stall out the turn, just to slowly chip it down. I didn't have anything else at the moment. I'm like, I'm not going Walking Wake. I'm not. And I have like a Sunroom team.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like Screamtail to set up Trick Room for Ursaluna, as well as Walking Wake in the sun. So I'm like, just break whatever my opponents give me. I'll just take, you know, whatever feels good at the moment.
Understood. Well, that was an intro to this podcast.
It was.
Not to cut you off, Shark, but...
No, you're good. I got nothing else.
It's time to move along. There is some news, actually, to talk about, which is kind of shocking considering it's been like 3 days since we last recorded. So I would love for us to kick it on over to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
Welcome to our news. So in the news, a few things to talk about. This is tangential to Pokemon again. But Nintendo seems to have moved their release days to Thursdays for its new games based on the recent Mario Day stream release nonsense that came out. They also added two new games to Nintendo Switch Online that were compatible with the Nintendo 64 transfer pack back in the day. No functionality was added, but they apparently made the unlocks available in the game, similar to how Virtual Console Yellow lets you play the Surfing Pikachu game. So maybe they'll do some. I don't know. I'm still waiting because, like, I think I remember when the N64 functionality was put in, there was a discussion about how there was code for like a transfer pack function. Mm-hmm. I'm just waiting.
Yeah. And strangely, like, the game that allowed the transfer pack first with this mm-hmm. is Mario Golf, because the Game Boy, the Game Boy game, and you have the N64 game with it. Mm-hmm. So,
to be fair, there weren't that many games that used the transfer pack outside of Pokemon, and if they did, they weren't very good. Like, they wasn't very like powerful. Like, I think Mario Golf was one of them. I'm gonna look this up now so that I know. But yeah, Mario Golf, Mario Tennis, Mickey Speedway USA.
Mickey Speedway USA.
Yeah.
Perfect Dark, Puyo Puyo, and Party.
It's like 10. It's like 10 games. All right. Well, moving on. The weirder news that happened this week. Pokemon trademarked a new company name this week called Pokemon Works. It's a subsidiary of the Pokemon Company. And it is located in the same building as Ilka. So everybody can go and speculate on what that means for the Pokemon franchise. That's fine.
Heart Gold, Soul Silver remakes. Pokemon Black and White 3 remakes.
The most reasonable thing I've heard is that they're just going to start offloading a lot more work to Ilka, but to this new company called Pokemon Works. To do their side games or do like remakes, like traditional remakes or something like that. And then the Pokemon company can focus on everything else, making new things like Pokemon Legends games and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Okay. Wait, have you guys seen, I don't know if you've been paying attention to social media that much, but have you seen the thing that I think is just insane that people keep speculating that there's only going to be 3 Legends games based on the trailer for Pokemon Legends Arceus?
What? Really?
Oh my gosh. It is the most frustrating thing. So in the trailer for Pokemon Legends Arceus, like the original reveal trailer, they show 3 books stacked on top of each other, and they only open the top one to talk about Legends Arceus. And everybody thinks that, well, not everybody, but people on Twitter/the internet, think that the other 2 books are just 2 more Legends games. And it blows my mind. I don't know. This is like some like Heart Gold, Soul Silver speculation stuff where they're just like, the Pokeball in the Pokemon Center of Diamond and Pearl was Gold and Silver, so therefore Gold and Silver remakes are coming out. And it's just like, no, you were just accidentally wrong.
Have ARGs just ruined everyone's ability to think?
I don't know. It's just like, I just saw that and I'm like, this is like, you guys are looking into this just a little too deep, I think.
Yeah, it's a just little? Books. This one I can tell you is probably just books. I see the image. Yeah. I'm like, it's just books.
Yes. Yeah. And then even if those represented the games, why would it only be the 3?
Right? Also, I don't believe that Pokemon has the foresight to actually have planned out that far ahead. I'm going to be honest.
Most, it's like, yeah, we only force. We've got 3 in the pipeline.
Yeah.
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 That's really it. It's like they had this and maybe just like, you know, they obviously have to have thought of, you know, they have X somewhere written out somewhere or Z written out somewhere. And they probably have, you know, the Unova ideas like, well, do we want to do this now or later? You know,
oh, they most certainly like have the next Legends game.
Johto,
in mind.
Do whatever.
Like that definitely is coming. Like that's definitely in mind. Like, hey, this is what we think about we're doing next, you know, but I'm just not that worried about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's Thatch's piece of news outrage today. all right, Linian, I think you've got these next two bullets.
Yeah, I do. We've got Scarlet and Violet news. There are some signups for the last online VGC tournament. I don't know if it's last or if it's latest. I think it's just the
it's
latest.
Just like
are
it's like
done?
The last one that's going to award points for this season, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes way more sense than there just not being another one of these.
Yes.
Ever.
Yep.
So, it's gonna, signups will be open, later this week, which is next week for us. Looks like it's gonna be on the last weekend of the month, that kind of thing. Yep. Also, it looks like the hack check software at tournaments is, getting some false. They mean false positives, but they wrote false flags, which is...
Well, it's raising some false
a little
flags.
Different.
But yeah.
But they are, if you've used golden bottle caps, might just want to send your Pokemon team to home and then back. That mm-hmm. should fix that right up.
I still love how like intense their hack checking is now. They have like certainly gotten around it to some extent, and I kind of love it. So good for you, Pokemon Company. But yeah, take us home, Shark, with the end of this.
All right, Go news. First, from the 21st to the 25th is the Verdant Wonders event, where you get Cottonee and Whimsicott with the Flower Crown. You get Shiny Flabébé, and the Unova monkeys will be back around worldwide. You can also pay to get Zarude.
Wow.
Plus increased shiny odds, but you get to have Zarude in the game.
Wait, you can pay for better shiny odds?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a lot of the tickets and things.
Pokemon Go is 1000% turned to the dark side. Like, I don't know if people just haven't noticed this, but it's definitely just
turned
into like a microtransaction.
Tickets are kinda,
yeah.
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 Yeah. And then the following week that was just announced today, the time of recording, a new Team Rocket Go Taken Over event is happening at the end of the month from March 27th to 31st, where you get the research to get Shadow Groudon, as well as Shadow Mewtwo coming into raids, and this is your chance to replace frustration with TMs.
Yay.
They've introduced a couple of new Shadow Pokemon. The only one that really kind of catches my eye is Shadow Darumaka, because you can actually make that a really good like raid Pokemon for fire types if you don't have Mega Charizard or Blaziken.
That's fair.
So it's like that's one of the better ones. So
Yeah.
And then a new TCG set should be releasing this week.
Yeah. That's actually really exciting. Because it brings in just like standard rotation at the same time. Well, granted, rotation takes place 2 weeks after the release of this set, but this is the set that is never going to be playable with E-Block. One more rotation to go and get rid of the ugly yellow borders.
Yeah.
One more rotation to go.
And I think also TCG Live on, is it this? Next, I guess next Thursday?
It's this upcoming Thursday. It always does it as of recording, it's next Thursday, but as of release of this episode, it is this Thursday. They always do it the Thursday before they get the new cards on TCG Live. And this is primarily because, I mean, they're just preparing for you to be able to buy product the next day on Friday. But additionally, for those of you who are unaware, a lot of your friendly local game stores, will also be allowed to sell product on Monday the day we release this episode. I do that very regularly. I always get a booster box like the Monday before. So. Definitely something to watch out for if you're a TCG fan. Or you can always go to TCGplayer.com trollandtoad.com and use code PucklePod5 at checkout to buy your own sealed product. But yeah, to end things off, we've got Puckle's Pokey prediction, which I think is probably pretty quick for me, at least. What non-starter Gen 5 Pokemon do you hope gets a Mega Evolution? And my answer is Zebstrika, because Zebstrika could use something.
It could. That's not wrong. It could use a little bit of love.
It could use something.
It could use something.
Zebstrika is mine. That's my answer.
You know what? I'll go with a duo. I'm gonna go Heatmore and Durant.
Ooh.
Those could be fun.
That could be good, actually.
That could be good. They've been kind of like average above or like kind of Pokemon. Mm-hmm, Durant has had some use, you know, and just kind of the, you know, I think it actually its best chance was like Gen 8 when you could Dynamax out of the the hustle accuracy stuff. So it's like, well, it gives Durant a little more love. Bugsteel is still a really good type, so.
Yeah. Do you have an answer, Lenny?
You know, I'm not entirely sure what I feel like it's got to be. Like, if I say I want to do Zoroark just to watch the meltdown, it's not an entirely dishonest response.
That's completely fair.
But I think, realistically, I'd be more interested in some... I would have said Basculin up until, like, you know...
Basculegion gets its last respects.
Basculegion's so much better, though. I feel like Basculegion's
exactly.
So
like,
much
well, better. Until Basculegion came out, I think probably I want to see something where it's kind of one of the jankier mons. Darmanitan could be overpowered and kind of funny.
Pan Sage.
Yeah,
Semi Sage.
The pans are up there.
They should just get they should just get it and be better. Like, I want them to come out with them and to have them be playable so that people are just like, oh man. Well, actually, you know the worst part, if we get new megas in Pokemon Legends Z to A, is that they would probably won't be playable, like, in competitive ever. You know what I mean?
That's the fun monkey paw.
It's the monkey paw of this happening. It's
to
100%.
Be fair, I was feeling that way for a while with a lot of the Hisuian Mond, but they did come eventually.
They did.
This
is different.
This is different, but there's that. It just means that maybe in Gen 10, Megas return for real.
Maybe. Actually, you know what? The more I think about it, there is a correct, objectively correct answer to this, and it's Dredigan.
Dredigan's a good answer.
Yeah. All right, well, we came up with answers, so there we go. PFTT signups are live until the 23rd of March, and we're going to do TCG signups. We're just waiting for rotation to happen. We're going to do a TCG tournament. PFTT, for those of you who are unaware, are Prepare for Trouble tournaments. It is our doubles tournaments. That we're having, so you can play in VGC with Puckle people. Thatch
a
will be doing
title nowadays.
Yeah, Thatch will be doing his Egglock on Wednesday this week. He's not doing it this week he didn't do it last week because he's recording this episode instead. And Cloud and Shamu will be doing their Sunday stream. Yeah, that's everything. On that note, though, guys, we are going to go ahead and kick it on over to our Pokey quiz. So let's. Quiz our co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Welcome to Poke Quiz. Thank you for that introduction, Mark. We're going to jump right on into it. Our first question this week is going to come from Liger. What is the only move to change whether it was a special, you did special damage or physical damage twice? So it swapped twice.
Oh, jeez.
There are two. No, there's one. It's Bite. Because it was normal, then Dark Special, then Dark Physical.
That's right. Yep. Nope. That's right. It's Bite.
Bite is correct. You guys are one for one.
It's like, did Water Shuriken go back? I don't.
Well, we are going to. I was going to ask you this question, but I guess you kind of answered it already. So maybe I don't ask you this question.
Oh, no.
What I was going to ask you was, what is the only move introduced after Generation 4 to change from physical to special?
Water Shuriken.
It is Water Shuriken. But yep. You answered it before I asked it, so like it's just invalid now. It's just invalid now.
I demand another point.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you this question. What is the only Pokemon line that can have both plus or minus as their ability?
Only Pokemon line that could be plus or minus?
Yes.
Yep. There's exactly one Pokemon line that can do it.
Is it...
I'm letting Shark think on this one for a minute.
My thoughts are... I keep going towards the Kling Klang, but I'm not 100% sure if that's...
Yeah. Yeah, it's Kling Klang.
Okay, cool.
Because they have clear bodies, they're hidden, and you had to get a hidden ability to have any functional ability in one-on-ones.
The Kling Klang is correct. It is the Kling Klang. They are the only ones that can have both. All right, so now I need to... They used to, because I didn't let Liger know that I was doing this so late so early in the week. He had not had a chance to update our trivia sheet this week. So I'm digging through the trivia channel right now, and you guys used to drop a ton of Pokedex entries, and
always the one he asks for. So what you should do is just go random Pokemon and pull its Pokedex entries and have a good time.
That's what I'm doing right now because I cannot find them easily today. So we are gonna pull a random number generator out for me.
1,008.
1,025. Oh, all right.
It just makes it easier if you hit the high numbers.
Yeah. You know, you want the low numbers. You want the low numbers. You want the low numbers.
Well, I would take a, you know, let's pull.
All right. I've got one for you though. Okay. This Pokemon's Pokemon Violet entry reads, "The poisonous gas it contains are a bit lighter than air. That's why it's always slightly airborne." That was a terrible entry. Like, you should know what that is.
It's wheezing, coughing is my initial guess, because it's poison gas and in the air.
It's either that or, like, the Gengar line.
Could be. I think Gengar line would be ghosty.
Yeah, because it's made of gas, so...
Yeah, let's go coughing, and it's probably, even though it's probably wheezing, but I'll go coughing.
Coughing is the right answer, yes.
Hooray!
I chose, like, the newest entry, and I should have just, like, picked something older. Like, the let's go Pikachu and let's go Eevee would be a terrible one. But, the one from Yellow, says, "In hot places, its internal gases could expand and explode without any warning. Be very careful."
That's horrifying.
Isn't it?
Jeez.
That entry has never been repeated in any way in like another game.
What's
terrifying about that to me is not, it's just like, what if you're walking, you're up on Mount Chimney and you're like, go coughing, and then it just dies.
Yeah. Well, you guys are 4 for 3 right now. So next is your multiple answer question. You can get up to 2 points here. And there are 9 answers here. I'm sure you guys will get this answer, mostly because I've only been giving you softballs today. And honestly, I just want this one to hit home for a lot of people. I want to ask this one to just like really dig at the core of my essence. And this one is going to be from Elite Four Brandt. There are 9 answers. If you give me the first 5, you get a point. If you give me all 9, you get 2 points.
Two.
Yeah. 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 So Elite Four Brandt asks, what 9 Pokemon are still not available on any Switch game as of Indigo Disc?
let's see. Pansage, Simisage, Pansier, Simisear.
That's 6, yeah.
That's
six.
So all the monkeys and Forfru.
That's seven.
Now it's Watchhog and Patrat.
That is nine. Yes.
Rip. That is, rip those guys.
There you go.
You know what? I'll say it. I don't miss any of them. they can stay.
I miss... I kind of miss Furfru, and for one reason and one reason alone. Maybe I don't miss Furfru, but I dislike what the absence of Furfru has created.
An economy in Pokemon Go.
An economy in Pokemon Home.
That's true.
It's the most frustrating thing in the world. Because you can't get the haircuts.
Vivillon was that for a long.
Yeah, it was Vivillon until we got Vivillon in Scarlet and Violet. So... Furfru is just plaguing the GTS, and I love that, like, throughout the history of the GTS, it's just always been broken. Like, there's never been a good GTS.
Yeah, I legit have been trying to get all the living decks made, and just, like, there's just some Pokemon I just, like, obviously have caught, but, like, did either reset the save or didn't, like, it never transferred up or whatever, and it's, like... I'm missing Pokemon, and I try to GTS it, and it's just like the GTS, like what people are setting up now is ridiculous. Let me see. Iron Crown. Let me see. Cause it's like they set it up where it's like something completely impossible to get.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, oh, I want a Raging Bolt that's level 10. It's like, I can't get that.
I know. They used to do that all the time. All right. So
still broken.
Your last question is your base stat question, as always. This one's from Zay Paladin. Which fully evolved Pokemon with access to the move Extreme Speed has the lowest base speed?
Lowest base speed?
Which fully evolved Pokemon with access to the move Extreme Speed has the lowest base speed? I believe there's two answers, actually, to this, so...
Okay, you've got Dragonite... is a good answer. That's base 80. It's not, which means it's not Arcanine, either of them. It's not Entei. Linoone is possible. It's not Lucario.
No, Linoone's is base 100.
Linoone's 100? Okay, then it's not Linoone. It's not Arceus, obviously.
What?
Togekiss.
I can't think. Sure.
What is Togekiss's speed? Is it 70 or 80?
Did anything in Gen 9 get it?
What are the Pokemon that Terra Normal?
I know Regieleki got it, but something tells me that doesn't have the lowest base speed.
Regieleki Extreme Speed. No, I don't think so.
It's
like honestly, Togekiss or like.
I'm fine saying Togekiss, honestly.
Because I was like, I don't know what. I just don't know if it's fast. It's either the same speed or slower than Dragonite, I think. So
I'm going to need an answer.
I say Togekiss.
Togekiss is correct. So is Dragonite. Dragonite and Togekiss are both correct. At base 80, they are the slowest. Followed by Suicune at 85. And a tie between Hisuian Arcanine, Deoxys Defense, and Lucario at 90.
Oh, that's right. Deoxys does get it, too.
Yeah, but you guys got it. You guys got a perfect score today. Our trivia score is gonna change up as a result. Because I think both of you are on the board anyway, so... So, there we go. You guys got a perfect score, though. And for some reason, my sheet's been acting weird, so... My formula's not working the way it used to. And I don't know why. Maybe it was an update in Google Docs. Hey, we got it. All right. In first place, we've got Sigma with 19 points. In second place, we've got Seth Vilo with 16. In a tie for third, we've got Linnean and Whimsicott with 15. Right. In a tie for fifth, we've got Shark and Sublime and Claude9 with 14. We've got Jushiro in eighth with 13 and Dr. Shamu bringing up the rear with 8. It's still anybody's game in this race to 40. So here we go. On that note, though, guys, that has been it for Puckle's Poke Quiz. We will be back with even more trivia next week, so be sure to tune in for that. Until then, we are going to kick it on over to the topic. We have another review for you today from iTunes from Ku Ashiku. 5 stars. I've loved listening to this podcast for years. It's always nice to have a dependable, comforting Audible experience no matter where I am in the world. You guys are awesome. Well, you know what? Kuashiku, you're awesome. We appreciate you guys leaving reviews, and if you can review us wherever you listen to the podcast, it's always appreciated. It helps more people find us and helps us grow. But until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the topic. Our topic today is gym leaders, top and bottom 5. You thought we couldn't do it, guys. We're doing it.
I thought we couldn't do it, and here we are.
We're beating this into the ground. It's going to be great. Really excited to talk about gym leaders, top and bottom 5. For those of you who are unaware, our top 5, bottom 5 series is where the 3 of us have discussions about certain things in Pokemon. We usually just talk about Pokemon. Today we're talking about gym leaders who are Pokemon characters, which I'm fine with. We are not including anime-only gym leaders because we thought that was not fun. And the way this will work, though, is we're each going to take a turn nominating a top and a bottom 5. And we are going to make sure that we list those off. And then you can disagree with us next week on the in the mailbag.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to kick things off.
Go for it.
I'm going to kick things off with a best, and it's a very easy best. I think we can all agree, and the answer is Larry.
Yeah, I already put him in the... I was like, I'm pretty sure we all are going to put him in the top 5.
Larry is very good for the context of in which he was put in the Pokemon franchise. Like, I don't think we would appreciate Larry if he was a Gen 1 gym leader, because we all would have been kids and not understood.
No, I still think he would have been very funny. I don't know of any other video game character who, without being painted as a cartoon villain, tells people to stop giving up, to stop living for their dreams and realize that they need to eat at the end of the day. He straight up says, I hope you never need to put up a facade, but the world breaks us all. And you're like, what?
Yes, you aren't entirely wrong. You are correct about him. Yes.
He wants you to give up on your dreams, but not like in an evil way, not like in an anime villain way, but in like your dad really doesn't want to see you in debt way, you know?
Okay, I'm going to follow this up with a one of the worst gym leaders. And I think it's very easy for me and very easy for the meme to just say Ramos.
Who?
Exactly. He does nothing. The only memorable thing about Ramos is he has a laughably large sized pair of scissors that he carries around with him.
He was the guy from that NES game about the clock tower. That's him, actually.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised, because he, like, so many other gym leaders in that game actually have, like, extra things, but Ramos just exists.
He's a speed bump.
Yeah, like the rest of them are like, they have like a little something to them. Like, at least their personality like carries through like the city they're in or something. Ramos just does not. He just does not. It's just not worth it.
I can't wait for Pokemon Legends Zeta A, where his ancestor is like the most compelling character and everyone thinks he's original.
I'm waiting for it. Bring it on. Make him worthwhile, please. What would be funnier is if Pokemon Legends Zeta A happens and Ramos is just a young man. In that. That's like the almost better play, I feel like. But okay, I've made my nominations. I believe we've accepted both of them.
Yeah, I think we have.
Nope, I think those are good ones.
Who would like to go next? Who would like to go next?
Shark, do you have a top and a bottom?
I do. Let's see. I'll say this. There's a lot of very valid Gen 5 gym leaders that could be up here, just because this is one of the games that does a really good job of like giving these characters depth more than, you know, Ramos is a guy with...
More than typical, I would agree. More than typical. I would argue that like Gen 8 and Gen 9 particularly have been very good about their gym leaders. Gen 8, I think, in terms of building up personality and lore around a lot of the gym leaders, I think was okay.
Well, they tried, except all but one of them are bad. Oh, I guess Opal's fine, too.
Like, Opal's fine.
You have Opal, you have Nessa, there's a couple in there. I'm going to propose Clay as my favorite of the Gen 5, the ground type.
Yeah, I
don't feel like super strongly against it. I just don't feel super strongly for it.
That's fair. I just enjoy his character. He does a lot with like, you know, managing his little the Driftville city, you know. He helps you out in cold storage.
You relate to a mayor?
Yes.
More cowboy, but you know what? That's got to root for cowboy.
To be fair, he's like the stereotype of like the Japanese businessman that comes to America and just like dresses up like a cowboy. No, like that is like literally what he's based on, though.
Randall Park's character from Fresh Off the Boat, very very sad.
I'm gonna put him in like the maybe pile for right now until we can't come up with anything better.
That's fine. I just want to at least say I got to root for him a little bit. I have others that can go up here, but that's at least one I want to put it up first. As a bottom, I'm going to say, speaking of Gen 8, I'm gonna say Milo.
Okay, I was gonna say him too because he has no nose.
Okay, good. He unnerves me.
I like that we've got two grass gym leaders already in the bottom. Can we make it five? Can we just go five for five here?
I didn't want to, but it's just like the issue with him is that one, he is the intro one, but it's his ace at the time is not Dynamax.
That's true.
And it's not really his ace later on.
No, it is Dynamax. It's not Gigantamax.
G-Max. It's not G-Max like most of the other gym leaders. Yeah, excuse me. And then like second of all, it's like in the games, it's either Appleton or Flapple, which are just the same thing. They're just the same G-Max form. It's like not even like unique sprite. It's just like you wouldn't even notice that it's like, oh, they're different Pokemon between games. It's like, what? I don't know. It's just like...
He's also the only gym leader who is a tutorial. Like you learn how to do the G-Max thing, like to go fight him.
Even then, like I think of like the intro island that they give us in Sword and Shield. And like both Nessa and Kabu are just significantly better than Milo in terms of just like character.
Oh, yeah. No, I want to know more about both of them. And you don't really with Milo.
I just see like Milo as like he's like a big bulky guy, but with a squeaky voice. That's how I imagine Milo speaks. Lydian, do you have anybody?
I do. Easy top. We're going to stay in Gen 8 for a minute.
Okay.
One of my favorite characters, someone who straddles the line between absolute idiot, affectionate, and phone addict, Raihan is great.
I think Raihan is great, actually. I think Raihan is built up very well. And even as like a gym leader in-game, which I don't know that we're going to use as criteria for any of this, but I think that he's just done very well in that they're just like, he's also doing doubles. Granted, they did this again in Gen 9, but I don't think to as good of an effect. But I do really like that they did that with Raihan.
Oh, Raihan, I do like what they're going on for this team. I enjoy having all sorts of the battle, all this like weather theme with his team, both in singles and doubles.
He has a ton of character too. Like he takes a selfie before he Gigantamaxes his Pokemon.
Oh yeah, no, they gave him a lot. They gave him a lot of thought. His character got a lot of thought.
And he's the rival to the champion, so he's like, he's got enough going on, but he doesn't threaten to just overtake the character.
It does just the right amount to push, you know, to make it, like, believable and that it's a rival. And it just, like, it feels like it. Yeah, like, the battle is a good battle, and I enjoy him. So, yeah, no, definite top.
All right, bottom tier. It's kind of a toss-up between two different Gen 2 gym leaders for the same reason. Whitney annoys me more than Claire, though.
I thought that's where you're going to go, because that's also where I was going to go. I think Claire might be worse, but Whitney is also bad.
Whitney just breaks down crying after being one of the hardest fights. She's acting like a little baby. I hate it so much.
To be fair, I don't know that the game designers intended it to be that hard for the fight.
Which doesn't make it better.
It doesn't. She is the hardest. You know what? I think Whitney belongs in the bottom. My only thing against that is that she's not a grass type gym leader. But
she's not even a normal type gym leader anymore. Half her team is fairy.
Yeah, half her team is fairy. You are correct. That would actually be wild. Like, let's say they remake HeartGold SoulSilver. Like they remade
the gym is in the shape of a fairy type.
And like let's say they remade it like they remade BDSP. Yeah, what do they do with Whitney? Like, what do they do with that?
What? Hold on. What does she use? Hold on.
I think it's a Clefairy.
I know it's
Clefairy and Miltank.
But I'm curious, because she was in the Black and Light too. Does she use any more normal? Okay, she has a few more. Ambipom, Ursaring.
Those don't count.
Those are normal.
No, I don't
Blissey.
I don't think those count. Like, because those, like, maybe I would argue maybe like gym leader rematches in Heart Gold Soul Silver are more applicable than World Tournament. But
oh, true. Licky, Girafarig, Bibarel, Delcatty. That's the rematch.
She deserves to cry.
That's her rematch in Heart Gold Soul Silver.
Oh, Heart Gold Soul Silver makes it worse too, because you can't even just like Ghastly stall. You have to get hit by Scrappy.
So Thatch, it's back to you.
Oh man, we've done a number on this already, actually. So favorites, I have to go to favorite first. And this is like a little bit out there. And because it's not really like a gym leader per se, but like we can do kahunas, right? Like kahunas are gym leaders, or do we want to do like trial captains as gym leaders?
That's the kahunas are interesting, because it's like, because you would use them because they're more like Elite Four, because half of them you do fight in Elite Four, but some you don't.
But they also just give you the badge the same as anything else, like the quote unquote badge. And then some of them are Elite Four, but
yeah, that's
fine. Are you going to say Nanu?
Yeah, I was going to say Nanu, yeah.
Okay, because if it was any of the other ones, I wouldn't agree.
Yeah, Nanu, we'll count Nanu because the fact he does not, for sure, does not go to Elite Four later.
He doesn't reappear, for one.
Well, he was asked to be in the Elite Four.
Yeah, he just says no and sends Acerola.
He just says no, yeah, he says no and sends Acerola. But I think he's such a chill dude. He's just a chill dude who just does whatever. He's supposed to be a cop, but like,
I know that Nanu doesn't show up in the Elite Four because, to plug our Patreon, that came up in the recent episode.
It did, actually. And then now you guys chose my bottom picks, and I didn't think we'd all choose the same bottom picks.
Well, let's see what we got. We got a Gen 6, we got a Gen 8, we got a Gen 2. There's a couple Gens you still left. You could pick your worst.
I can jump. If I can jump the line, I don't have a top, I just have a bottom.
You know what? Jump the line.
I have a couple of tops, so.
Yeah, no, it's just one that I just want to just dunk on, even if you don't agree. Marlin is one of the worst characters in Gen 5.
Oh yeah, Marlin's so bottom.
Oh, actually, yeah.
He literally shows up, tells you that he doesn't care about the plot, when you beat him, he walks, again, reaffirms that not only is the plot not his problem, he doesn't know why you care that much, and then leaves. And I was so annoyed at this character and the random plot cul-de-sac that is the entire 8th gym, I stopped playing Pokemon for 2 years.
I mean, he's just literally just a surfer's dude who's just vibing into his own thing, but it's just like, yeah, I just like...
He's doing his own thing to the point, like, know what, like, everyone's like, yeah, we can't even open the gym because the gym leader's, like, never here. I'm like, I don't like this dude. Then he shows up and goes, yeah, this isn't my problem, bye folks, and swims away.
Yes, he does. Yeah, I agree, he should go in the bottom. We've got three for the top and three for the bottom now. Then Or four for the bottom. Four. We have four on the bottom, three on the top. Yeah, we have four on the bottom, three on the top.
Here's some tops that I'll throw out there. Gen 4, one of the best gym leaders out there, and still to date, honestly, it's Crasher Weight.
I'm kind of okay with him because in Gen 4, he's like the one with the most personality by far.
Oh, yes. 1,000% that.
He has a theme song.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just because he's just like, I am Crasher Wake. This is he's really sold on like the whole masked wrestler personality too. He's just like, yeah, this is who I am, and that's okay. He is unabashedly okay with himself being the way he is. Crasher Wake, you may enter the top rank. You may be awarded the rank of master. Do you have a bottom, or do you have another top?
I have another, I'll throw another top up here just because I, just to balance things out and just kind of looking around across gens, across everything, I think we should throw Sabrina up there as one of the best Gen 1 gym leaders out there. I mean, there's a lot that could throw here, but
for Gen 1, I would push back instead of Sabrina making it Giovanni just because I think that is like one of the best twists they could have done in the original Pokemon game.
Yes, yeah. Sabrina, the only characterization Sabrina gets is in the anime and manga. In the games, all she says is, I'm Sabrina, I am a powerful psychic. And then she fights you holding a whip, and then that's the end.
I think Giovanni, though, is, like, way cooler in terms of, like, in-game.
Yeah, Giovanni has enough business.
Because you're already seeing Giovanni several times, and I think it just, like, and you remember when you went to Viridian City. I don't know. I remember playing Gen 1 as a kid, and like it, you know, you feel like you're playing the video game for a long time, but you're not. You're playing it, you know, in 30 minute spurts. So it takes you, you know, months to play a Pokemon game instead of like we would do now and just binge it in a weekend. I just remember being like playing through the game, and like I felt like Ash when he returned to Viridian City, and he's just like, oh, I'm back here. I'm gonna go challenge the gym leader, even though the gym's closed. Because the gym was closed last time. I remember doing that and being like, oh man, I can't wait to like actually figure out who this guy is. That's going to be so cool. This guy has to be like the coolest gym leader. And then you get there and then it's just Giovanni, this guy you've been beating up constantly throughout the entire game.
And the sigh of relief. I thought he might be dangerous. But I have Bubble Beam.
I just think he's really cool. I just think it's really a really cool plot twist. And I think in terms of characterization, if that's kind of what we're basing this off of, I think that is just like one of the cooler ones. I would push back on that over Sabrina. Honestly, over any of them, with the exception of maybe Lieutenant Surge, only because his only lines are really weird and dark. Because it was in the before times, before they decided Pokemon was in its own universe. And Lieutenant Surge is just this like very is just like this, like he is this relic of what Pokemon used to be.
The Lightning American, I think.
Given his age and everything, he's probably from Nom.
No, he's probably from Nom, like 100%. He's the lightning American, and like almost all of his quotes have something to do with him being in war.
No, he was up there. Blaine is also a good choice too, just because
because of the manga more than anything, I feel like.
Well, no, because in the later stuff, Blaine is just kind of a goofball in like, oh, I can't believe I'm going to say this. In the Let's Go games, Blaine comes out dancing multiple times, and he's just kind of goofy.
And he's got his little questions are on his little face machine or whatever. Blaine's up there. It's definitely like honorable mention Blaine, honorable mention Lieutenant Surge.
Yeah, Lieutenant Surge is just like nuts to me. He is just nuts to me. Like his quotes are just insane to me. Like, oh my gosh, let me see if I can find. I gotta find his quotes. The Fame Checker doesn't make it any better.
Oh no, I forgot about that.
Dude, the Fame Checker is like actually one of the coolest things in all of Pokemon, and I really wish we got that back in some form.
Well, they tried in Gen 8. It was the.
The cards. The league cards.
I couldn't remember what they were called.
No, the league card, I love anything that just like gives you lore that you have to kind of look at and check for. I do really, really like that. I have to find his quotes now, because like his quotes are just like they're kind of unhinged. Like it's just insane.
So here's the Fame Checker stuff. What was this person like? When I was in the army, Lieutenant Surge was my strict CO. He was a hard taskmaster. He was always famous for his cautious nature in the army. Lieutenant Surge installed the traps in the gym himself. He set up double locks everywhere. There's a rumor. Lieutenant Surge is rumored to have been a pilot while home in America. He used the electricity generated by Pokemon to power his plane.
Well, at least he was green.
I guess?
I don't know. Like, it's just, Lieutenant Surge's quotes are just insane. He's like, they saved me during the war!
He looks ridiculous in the anime as well. He's so off model.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, here we go. We found him. In the original Pokemon games. Hey, kid, what do you think you're doing here? You won't live long in combat, that's for sure. I tell you, kid, electric Pokemon saved me during the war. They zap my enemies into paralysis. They'll do the same to you. The same as I'll do to you.
What's horrifying to me about that is not that, Pokemon are used in war, but it's that they were just zapped to paralysis. So did he send in Electrode to just Thunderwave people and then follow doing a coup de grace? I don't like this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's just in Gold and Silver. He doesn't get nearly as insane, but that's okay.
They got him on medication.
I think by Gen 2 they started going, oh, this is going to be a thing. Like Pokemon was going to be a thing. Even though they claim it was like the last game, like that they planned for it to be the last game, I really do think that by Gen 2. They had just realized, like, oh, Pokemon's going to really take off, and it's going to be this thing.
So I don't know if this is a top or a bottom, but it's definitely a vibe. How do y'all feel about your dad, Norman?
I feel like he's different. I just don't know that he's a top or a bottom, you know what I mean? Like,
I think he's just a mid. I think it's just a mid.
I think he's normal. I just think he's normal.
I think he's... I mean, it's cool that it's like, oh, cool, your dad's actually in a game.
It feels like it should be, like, the champion or, like, the eighth gym leader, but he's, like, fifth? I don't know, it just feels weird.
But he has one of the scarier Pokemon to face.
No, I kind of like it as, like, a checkpoint, though. Like, I think that's, I don't know, because the way I see Hoenn, I'm not trying to argue for him to the top because we have five and I think the five we have are pretty good. I think it's just like a really good checkpoint for like midway through Hoenn because one, you start the game by talking to your dad and he teaches you how to catch Pokemon and you do this whole journey and he's just like, get on your way, kiddo. And you get halfway. And the way I see it is just like, in terms of the story, if you're playing the game, you're just like, oh man, you're building up to this fight with your dad and then you do it, but there's still more to go. So like you're already like, I'm better than my dad. I'm going to do cool and great things and make my daddy proud.
And that, yeah. And then you get Surf and,
The game drags on.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that does open the map. So it's kind of a fun juncture there,
mm-hmm.
But you get Surf. And then, as soon as you hit Lily Cove, the Hoenn games disintegrate.
Okay. So we need a bottom, one more bottom. We have five top and four on the bottom.
I have two options for bottom if you...
I have one option, but I will let you go first.
I have two psychic-type gym leaders. Olympia from Gen 6. Oh, what's her name from Gen 9? Oh my gosh.
Oh, you know what? I agree. Tulip.
Tulip, yeah.
Okay, Tulip is kind of like the weakest gym leader in Gen 9. My recommendation was going to be Volkner, who just got sad because he was too good.
No, because he tried. No, because there's kind of an art. He's fine.
I am okay with Tulip.
I would think, for Volkner, I'm just going to say, the one, it is a downgrade that he doesn't, like in the base game, he doesn't have enough electric types to actually make an electric gym. But I do like his story with Flint. I do like that little thing. So it's still, yeah, he's a little emo, but I'm like, yeah, he's still not the worst. I would think Olympia more so, because it's just like, the gym was just a weird, hard kind of puzzle, just with the crazy 3D space.
I'm really okay with Tulip, though, because she had, like, one, the worst gym challenge, and two, I didn't know... One, she dissed my girl Dendra, which I don't really like, okay? And, but, like, she also just doesn't have any story, other than, like, I guess she was friends with Dendra and then decided to just be a fashion model instead of work out like Dendra likes to do, right? Like, am I reading that right?
I think we're literally describing the same person, a psychic gym leader who has a terrible gym and does nothing to anything.
I think Tulip's gym is worse.
Well, no, because Olympia, like, she, like, offers. There's just not a whole lot that you can do there.
Yes.
She's, at the very least, a lot more visually interesting than
Yes.
Tulip, I keep looking at going, oh, you're a fairy? Oh, no, psychic. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. And yeah, because at least Olympia, you're like, yeah, that's clearly psychic.
Yeah. And Olympia does at least, like, embody the type and have a more interesting fight than Tulip, who's just kind of there.
Yeah, I don't,
She even uses the same Pokemon as the champion as her ace, other than the Terastal.
Actually, yeah. Well, okay, so fun fact. Apparently, according to the blurb on Bulbapedia, of all things, Tulip is childhood friends with Dendra and has done a collaboration with fellow gym leader Ayano, which those aren't points in my book, but she doesn't like her boss Gita very much due to the latter's bewitching aura overlapping with the former style.
You know what? I just want to put an aside. Being able to summon all of the gym leaders to your club.
Yes.
That was very good.
Yes.
Having Ayano ask Larry how he was able to get it approved for the back of his head to be on his official. That was incredible.
Indigo Disc was a very good DLC. It was a very good DLC.
It really was.
Yeah. Oh, man. The only thing that I think they could have done better in Scarlet and Violet, I really do wish they would have done like the anime-esque thing of like, hey, there's more than 8 gyms, but you only need the 8 badges to do it. But I kind of understand the way they did it was also fine. I don't know. I have like that, I have that in the back of my head all the time. Like, man, wouldn't it be cool to just like be in that world? But I think that honestly, after watching like the first few episodes of Pokemon New Horizons as well, I keep thinking to myself, yeah, I'm wrong. The kids these days aren't thinking about it like that. You know, it's just, I'm a relic. I'm a relic of a bygone age. One day I'll be able to fulfill my fantasies.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I think that gives us our top and bottom 5 list, unless you guys want to try to upend anything. If there's anything you want to upend.
No, I'm good. There's some good honorable mentions, but I think everyone that we have on top is just there.
The top, for those of you at home, are Larry, which is in a tier of all of us own. You've got Raihan, Nadu, Crasher Wake, and Giovanni. In the bottom 5, we've got Ramos, whoever that is, Milo, he's still looking for his nose, Whitney, still crying in the corner, Marlin, swimming off in the ocean, not caring about the story, and Tulip, probably doing the same, honestly. if you disagree with us, send us emails at pucklepodcast@gmail.com with your top 5 and bottom 5 gym leaders. We look forward to your emails.
If you put Iono in the top, we'll know.
You're wrong.
You're wrong, and we won't judge you, but we will know why.
All right. Well, on that note, we are going to go ahead and kick it on over to our Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you on the flip-flop.
Poke of the episode.
Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National X number 982, the Dunsparce, the Land Snake Pokemon.
Its Pokemon Violet entry reads, it drives enemies out of its nest by sucking in enough air to fill its long, narrow lungs, then releasing the air in an intense blast.
Wow. It's just Dunsparce, but more.
Yep.
I can't say I love this Pokemon.
2 more or 3 more.
Yeah. I can't say I love this Pokemon. But I can't say that I hate it. I just love that I think it demonstrates the something that I think a lot of people don't believe happens, which is that the Pokemon company listens to the fan base. But two, they definitely listen. I think two, it just also shows that they are not afraid to meme on us, which I think is hilarious. I don't know. This is like one of those things where like, I don't know. I think the same type of people who begged for a Dunsparce evolution are the same type of people who begged for a Mega Flygon, right? Like, yep. It didn't happen. It doesn't need to happen. They give us what they give us because that's what they felt creatively able to do. The Dunsparce is definitely a meme on all of those people, and I love it.
Yeah. Mm. And it actually is a fun Pokemon to use. Mm-hmm. I've used it just a lot. Being a normal type is actually just kind of fun because it has a bunch of different moves that it can just do.
Yeah.
It could...
Four of them at a time, even.
when I use it to like rand battles, it's like the sets that I typically get, you get either Serene Grace with like Body Slam Glare or Iron Head just to flinch hacks a bunch of people, Paralyze hacks a bunch of people, or yeah. You can end up going Calm Mind Boom Burst with all the powerful earth moves you can get, Earth Power, Ice Beam, Blizzard, Hurricane, Thunder, or you can go Coil as well. Coil's is pretty fun with its good physical moves, and it does have an exclusive move in Hyper Drill, which is just okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's Return, it's Return and Wicked Blow had a child, but it's not really. It missing the important thing.
I think the new Dunsparce. So I'm sorry, I don't want you to cut off the video game knowledge that we gained from the Dunsparce today. I was just thinking about there is a new Dunsparce card coming out in Temporal Forces, the new TCG set that drops next week. It's actually like not a terrible card. You could probably like make a tier 3 deck with it, maybe tier 4, let's be honest, but it's definitely a fun deck to take to league. This is seen as like right now in terms of draw engines and the Pokemon TCG, there's Bibarel that a lot of people play. They let you go ahead and what Bibarel does is if you have less than 5 cards in your hand, you can draw up to 5 cards from your deck until you have 5 cards in your hand. And Bibarel is going to rotate not this year but next year. So people are already kind of looking for replacements, and Dunsparce is a candidate for that. Because it has an ability called Runaway Draw. And once during your turn, you may draw 3 cards. If you drew any cards in this way, shuffle this Pokemon and all attached cards back into your deck. So it's not as good, but you just have to like keep placing Dunsparces down on your bench, I guess, and just evolve into Dunsparce and just use that to help you draw cards.
And then you use Tinkaton.
You could, actually, yeah. That actually would synergize okay.
So I have a conspiracy theory for this Pokemon.
Yes.
And the more I look into this, the more I think I'm actually just right. Like, the start is a joke, but... So, I think that at one point in development, the Dunsparce and Ferrigiraffe were made as counterpoints, probably version exclusives, but I think their development was extremely tied together.
Oh, for sure. I'm pretty sure, because they evolve in the same way, and they're both Gen 2
Pokemon.
They evolve
in the same way, at the same level. They both get their move at level 32.
Mm-hmm.
Both are single-stage Pokemon from Gen 2, normal types. I think they were probably made to be in the same, like, the same slot in a route. These feel intentionally balanced off each other.
It's just that like one is better than the other. Like one is definitively better than the other.
I don't know if that's true necessarily.
No, it absolutely is. The number of Ferrigiraffes that have like shown up in top cut in VGC is significantly larger than the number of Dunsparces. Granted, when you divide by 0, it's still infinity, but like the Ferrigiraffe has been in top cuts multiple times. Well, because its ability
to one ability.
It's literally its ability.
But, you know, Pokemon always makes version exclusives equally good. That's why Zacian and Zamazenta exist. Equally
That's
good.
That's true.
Pokemon.
They're both equally good and were given the same respect.
Yep, and that's why Galarian Darmanitan and Galarian Corsola amazingly balanced.
Yes. Yeah, actually, both of those were problems in their own rights. Let's be honest; like both of those were actually problems.
Well, Corsola, no, Corsola, yes,
yeah.
Look, all I'm saying is, smidge. Sandslash was absolutely as impactful as Alolan Ninetales.
I think that's in my heart. That's true. I love my little Alolan Sandshrew.
Look,
and Alolan Sandslash.
The only way that Alolan Sandslash is making an impact onto your heart is if you got into a car accident with one of my speeds. Okay.
I love the design of my little Alolan Sandshrew. Okay, he's like an igloo, but like a little buddy.
Yeah, he's a little curling puck.
He's my little buddy. I love I If I could have one Pokemon that is real, like if they're just like that, you can make one Pokemon that's real. Like that's my genie wish, right? I would make it Alolan Sandshrew, only because he'd be my little buddy. I imagine he waddles a lot, and he just waddles around my house, and he's just like, and he hangs out with me, you know?
Yeah, not a Pokemon that can make infinite free energy.
Yeah. Well, he'd be really good for making cocktails, probably. He could, like, definitely chill those glasses.
Use Ice Ball, but, like, stop it real early. I just need perfect spheres.
I need perfect spheres. You got this, Sandshrew. You got this. I think you'd be into that,
I just started a run of Ultra Sun. Now I gotta catch a Alolan Sandshrew and name it Drinky.
I would use one, actually. Yeah, I would definitely use him for that purpose, but also just, like, hang out with him. Yeah, like Alolan Sandshrew.
Folks, you heard it here. It goes for Alligator, then it goes Suicune.
Yeah, weren't you were there for that episode we did where we did like our like Pokemon charts, right? No, were you there for that, Lenny? Oh, you weren't there. When we did our Pokemon charts, I learned something about myself, and it's really terrible. It was like you could 90% guess which Pokemon I was gonna pick for each Pokemon of each type based on whether or not there's like a flow chart. It was, is it from Gen 2? Followed by, did it get an evolution in Gen 4? Followed by, is it an Alolan form? And it's just like, you'd get like 90% of my list, I think, that way.
I feel like you could do a flowchart for me, but it starts at, is it a funny guy? And if the answer is no, is it an Ultra Beast? And it's no, is it Furbait? And, you know, in that descending order, I feel like you...
Yeah.
Because 90% of my favorite Pokemon.
I think that's how you hit most of mine. It's just like, is it Gen 2? Is it Alolan form? Did it get an evolution in Gen 4? And then you've got most of my list, I think. That's all there is to it. Dedunsparce does not make that list, but...
Right, that's what we were talking about.
welcome back to the segment.
Of segments, Dedunsparce has two or three.
Or three, yeah. Because they decided to annoy people even more. Yeah, it's 1 out of 100.
It's not like I've seen someone shiny hunt for a shiny 3-segment one.
I've seen that happen on YouTube occasionally.
Yeah,
I wonder if the form thing is the only reason they didn't end up doing the two different versions.
Oh, that's a good question. That's possible, actually. That is possible.
Could we have almost gotten for a giraffe with two heads?
No, that wouldn't have happened. That wouldn't have happened.
Oh, that would have been funny.
I think
it's not Doduo style. It's just inversed itself. Literally just two fridge giraffes back to back. That's literally what it is.
No, they were just checking out. They were just like, oh, we could do another Sinistee. You know, we could do another antique form Sinistee. This is going to be something that people care about in a very specific way. They did do it with Mousehold as well.
Yep.
Which is equally annoying.
Yep.
But that is Dedunsparce and everything else we talked about today. Alolan Sandshrew got a mention, but with that said, we're gonna end it here. We're gonna kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time.
Send in your emails.
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com and we might read your email on the show. As always, this segment is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
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 Honestly, just based on vibes, we'll give it out. That's how this works. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
As long as there are paragraph breaks.
Paragraph breaks are honestly a requirement. That is the number one requirement to get entry.
That is the only requirement, I would even say.
Last week, though, we did ask you guys what you might do to some of the types to give them immunities, kind of like dark type or steel type or any of those other things. So like dark type being immune to prankster or fire types being immune to burn. So I kind of want to know what you guys thought. So I guess our first email this week is going to be from The Afterman.
Yeah. Hello. I very much enjoyed the topic this week and had some potential updates to share. These are not immunities per se, but we're in line with the episode discussion. Steel. Iron sharpens iron. When a steel type makes contact with another steel type, both Pokemon have their attack increased one stage.
Whoa, that might be a little much.
That could be. It's like Howl, but in double. But
it feels like stamina, but in.
I don't. Give like if any of them have beat up, and then you have Cobalion.
A steel. Yeah. Oh, cause yeah. Oh, yeah. Steel type. Oh, yeah. No.
Mm-hmm. No.
It would have to be a steel type move making contact with a steel type.
Even then.
But even then, that's not great.
That's abusable.
That's so abusable.
There's not a good steel spread move that could potentially hit your ally while also dealing damage to the enemy. That's the only thing that's saving it at the moment.
All I can see is Lucario, like a min attack something with bullet punch is just going to be bullet punching your steel type right next to you. It's going to be bullet punching your Zacian.
There are a couple others here. Flying. When a flying type is hit with a wind move, their speed stat goes up a stage.
That one's kind of similar to, Kilowattrel has one that's literally that, but charge.
That's like a whole ability, right? Like, it's just, yeah, it's like already an ability, which is fine, because I guess electric types all have limber now, but that's okay.
But it's interesting.
Well, because Wind Rider is the, well, no, because that boosts the attack. It's also still a lot, especially because Tailwind is a wind move.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, that's just too much.
There's a lot of speed, but it has some potential, but yeah. Oh, actually, that would make the genies would get.
Poison. Moves that steal health, absorb, mega drain, etc. will deplete the enemy's health rather than healing the attacker. I think Liquid Ooze is such a terrible niche ability, poison type should have it by default.
It's not a bad thought, just like by default.
I would rather reduce the healing that they get than invert it, and then let the inversion be Liquid Ooze.
I like that. I actually like that a lot. Or like they don't even get it if they touch a poison type, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I still think
they just don't even get it, which is fine. Like I think the negative should be Liquid Ooze, though. I think you're correct, Lillian.
I think at most you nullify it. But yeah. So thank you, and I look forward to more episodes like this one, The Afterman.
Well, I appreciate you liked it. I didn't think anybody would, but I really just wanted to talk about it because Shamu came up with this like months ago and it was a good idea. All right, so our next email is going to be from Tia, and I'll let you go, Shark.
Howdy, Puckle Gang. Tia here. I think giving some types some much-needed buffs would be great. I really like the idea of being able to remove sticky webs with a bug type. That said, here are my ideas. Fighting type. Increase success rate in repeat use of Detect. Detect is a pretty useless move as it's just worse version of Protect. Professional fighting in our world is about adapting, getting used to, and overcoming the other fighters' moves and habits. Making Detect better on fighting types reflect this. It could be interesting.
I'm actually okay with that.
Bug type. Immunity to trapping type moves and abilities. Oh, bugs. Have you tried catching a bug? These things are hard to catch in real life, so I think having bug type reflect its slipperiness and peskiness would be a good nod.
So, like, if this is already something that ghost types have, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad.
And bug needs buffs out the wazoo to make it, like, an okay type. It is definitively the worst type.
Rock types. Immune to moves that switch the rock type out. Rocks are very sturdy, difficult to move, and always stay in one place. I mean, look at Stonehenge. This gives that type some benefits instead of being the worst version of steel type. This is actually kind of interesting.
I think it's a cute idea, and I really like it better than whatever we came up with. I don't think we came up with anything, because I think we were just...
You didn't change anything for Rock, I think.
We didn't change anything for Rock. Yeah, we're just like, it's immune to Sandstorm. Good enough.
We have to get rid of Suction Cups on Lileep and Cradilly, but that's fine. They were using Storm Drain anyway.
Oh, that's fine. In making more Rock types, like, you know, something like Rhyperior weakness policy that much better, kind of, that could be.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Because you have solid rock to neutral to make it not take as much damage, and then it gets just rock polish to go fast. So then, yeah.
And it can't be phased.
Yeah, it can't be phased out. Yeah, no, that seems good. Also, side note, bug should be super effective versus fairy.
Yeah, it should be neutral.
I don't know if super effective, I just don't think fairy should resist them. That was just a slap in the face to bug type. They came up with fairy and they're just like, here's some types that really need some buffs and debuffs. Dragon needs a debuff. Dark needs a debuff. Fighting could use a slight debuff. And they're just like, and then you know what needs a buff? Steel and poison. They're not super effective against that many things at all. They need that. And you know what? Fire should resist fairy because fire needs a little bit of something too. And they're just like, and bug? Bug is worthless and should be resisted by this type and no other interaction. But bug just got like slapped in the face. Like I remember looking at that type chart when it first came out in X and Y, and I was just like, wow, that they just did not want bug to be happy.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, thank you for that, Tia. Our last email today is going to be from Barely Trying. What's up, Puckle Peeps? Cody, aka Barely Trying here. I just want to say that some of these ideas might not make any sense, would make the type OP, or just not fitting the criteria, but I'm shooting from the hip here. Also, I wanted to share that I think my 11-month-year-old daughter loves Sprigatito because we were watching Horizons, and every time she looked at the TV and she saw it, she was smiling and laughing. I'm going to try to keep each type change as compact as possible so this list doesn't get too crazy. Normal. No fighting weakness, but not very effective against fighting types. I'm okay with that. That's fine. That's fine. Fire. 10% damage resistance in the sun. We kind of get that with, like, the weak, like how the water moves get weaker in sun. So I think that's better than this. Yeah. Water. Heal and rain. I know this is an ability. Burn does less damage. Burn doing less damage is interesting. I kind of like that, actually.
But burn already doesn't do much damage anyway.
It does like 1/16th, right? So let's make it...
It does leftovers, and it's like you'd have to go 1/32nd and also make Sea King's amazing water veil ability less useful.
Yeah, water veil can go away. Do you know how many times I've ever cared about water veil? Zero.
Who uses Sea King? Sea King a Pokemon? Like, come on.
Sea King is a bad Pokemon. You know what? You know what? No, we're going to talk about this. Sea King is dumb. I hate Sea King. When I saw all of the Pokemon that were coming back in Gen 8, I didn't care that everything was there. I didn't feel a thing about that. And then I saw there was Sea King, and then suddenly I had feelings.
I, like, got better about Dexit, and then I played Sword and Shield, and I saw Goldeen and Sea King there, and I go, you went with these?
Exactly!
These are hundreds of Pokemon. There are hundreds of Pokemon you left out for Goldeen and Sea King.
And Sea King.
I'm like, you couldn't come up with something better than that? I could, let me tell you. But this is also the same game in which they were just like, we really want to have the Pokemon variety be vast and select it really, really, really well. And then they put two electric dogs in it.
Yeah.
That are the same exact Pokemon. And it's just like, come on, guys. You did not try that hard. But either way, I digress. Grass. Healing moves recover more health in the sun. Synthesis already does that, and I don't know what other healing moves they get that aren't synthesis.
Mm-hmm.
Electric. Deal more damage to water types in rain. Water absorbs more rain, so the electricity would deal more damage, or sandstorm decreases accuracy of electric type moves. Sun already decreases thunder, and rain already increases thunder. So, I guess I could be okay with that affecting more. But I kind of like just having thunder have the issue. I don't know. I'm just being like, oh yeah, what we have is good enough. So I feel really bad. I'm not adding any real critique. But bug, immune to poison type and resist water type, or water is super effective based on how you want to look at it. Oh my god,
itsy bitsy spider much?
I kind of like the full, like, I want it to be immune to poison only so the type chart could change even more like that, to go from poison used to be super effective to bug to now it's just immune to it.
Yeah, the longest con.
I kind of like that. Ice, defense and special defense boost in snow, since it's such a fragile type, or burn does more damage. Do they not get defense or special defense boost in snow?
They already got defense. They get defense. And honest to goodness, it does impact a lot.
It does, yeah.
I played in an X draft league, and I used Mega Abomasnow. Oh my gosh, that thing tanks.
Oh, for sure.
That thing is a menace now. Like, Mega Abomasnow, the meme, one of the meme megas, it actually, like, I actually felt like, oh my gosh, this thing is actually usable, and it's good. Oh my gosh, it's good.
Let's see, where was I at? Rock. If a rock type uses stealth rock, it does more damage. Oh, it doesn't need to do more damage.
Volcarona not wearing its boots.
It's just dead. It's just dead.
Doubles it.
Ground. Ground type moves are not very effective against ground type Pokemon or a higher chance to freeze with an ice type move. I do feel like ground type Pokemon shouldn't be very effective against ground type Pokemon. I think the way we phrased it in the show was just like earthquake does less to ground type Pokemon, which I think that's a very good middle ground and very similar to what he said. Next is fighting. Make physical fighting moves used by fighting types have a 5% chance to paralyze opponent. Oh my gosh. I'm not entirely against that. I think for flavor, it's really fun. I think it should be 1%.
No, because like the thing is, there's a threshold at which point when it happens, you throw your hands up.
Yeah, that's what I want. That's kind of what I want. That's
like, it's not fun. It's just hateful.
That's what I want. I'm sowing the seeds of chaos. I am Odium.
Honestly, it should just be more crits. It just be crits land easier on fighting.
No, Odium doesn't sow the seeds of chaos. He could. No,
yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Yeah.
He tries. He's just bad at it.
He is definitely bad at it.
We will talk about this.
flying type Pokemon using wind moves deal more damage while Tailwind is active and higher speed than other types in Tailwind. Mm-hmm. Priority in Tailwind for flying types is not a bad idea.
That I actually like. Gale wins, but only in the gale.
I'm kind of okay with that. Like, give them priority. Psychic. Personally, I think Psychic should be super effective against Steel, since they could bend it no problem.
No!
Steel type literally exists to be the one type that resists Psychic.
Yes, it was made to balance Psychic.
But bending the spoons.
It was made to balance the game. It was made to balance the game.
Let's get a spoon Pokemon and give it an ability that makes it weak to Psychic, you know? Like,
this is the compromise.
Exactly.
Ghost, make more physical ghost moves able to flinch, I guess, or immune to sleep.
Immune to sleep is not a terrible thought.
Immune to sleep, I'm not.
But why are normal things immune to sleep? Do you know what sleep is? Pretty normal.
No, ghost should be immune to sleep, though.
Oh, ghost? No.
That's what he's saying. I think that I'm not against that, though. Like, I'm.
It's not. It's an interesting thought.
If ghost should be immune to anything, it's like. Torment. They're the tormentor.
Is also known as the evil type. So maybe add another type of slow health loss for dark type moves, like a bleed effect, but Pokemon wouldn't call it that. I think the closest we ever got was Darkrai with Nightmare as the ability. Or the bad dream ability. That's what it is.
And just give it something like, yeah, I think it's just something like Frostbite, but it's just like well, like a fear, like...
Oh, fear. Fear is what you should do. Fear, yes. I think that's better. Dragon, maybe have special moves have a possibility to inflict different elemental status effects. Burn, paralyze, freeze. For example, Dragon Breath. Why does it paralyze? Why not burn or freeze? Dragons are elemental, after all. I am okay with Dragon Breath doing tri-attack level effects. I am okay with that, actually. Fairy. If you get a fairy type with a fairy move, they get healed. I don't know. I couldn't think of what.
Yeah, fairy. Yeah, probably something else.
You know what? Fairy should be immune to taunt or torment. One of the two. Torment. Let's not make anything immune to taunt. The more that I think about that.
Just torment. The move that nobody uses.
Yeah. He don't do that.
That's a safety. I was thinking about that. That's a safety valve you shouldn't shut off.
You really.
Poison. Get rid of badly poisoned. But when you're poisoned. You get a special attack nerf equal to the burn nerf to attack.
But toxic.
No, badly poison's better.
Badly poison serves an essential use in the meta.
Steel, burn does more damage to it, or just for fun, make dragon and steel neutral to each other, and I won't expand on that thought. For this being like a list shot from the hip, there were at least like three bangers in here that like were actually not bad ideas. So I actually applaud this. That's my chaotic mind at work, creating a list of changes to every type that totally makes sense. I hope you folks enjoy the list and have the good rest of your week. You too, bud. Actually, for him putting in all the work and actually getting some good hits here, I kind of want to give him the Green Tauros badge.
I want to give him the Green Tauros badge for making us go on a tangent about Seeking. Just for that. Alone deserves a cream.
seeking a purpose for existence. Thank you for that. If you want to email us next week, you can at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, letting us know what your top and bottom five gym leaders are. In the meantime, you can hang out with us at Discord at pucklediscord.com. Additionally, you can hang out with us over on, or you can hang out with us on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. You can hang out with us at youtube.com/pucklepodcast, social media, over at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Additionally, you can go ahead and help support the show by either going to trollandtoad.com and buying all of your favorite cardboard products there with a 5% discount code at PucklePod5 at checkout. Additionally, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast and help get access to new shows. We actually have a new Puckle Chit Chat going up this month with none other than the legendary Bosifus, which is exciting. And additionally, you can help support the show. The merch is coming out this month as well, so look out for that for those of you who are patrons. Next month, we're going to start rolling out our next merch wave, or at least announcing it. It's going to be new Puckle TCG playmats, which is going to be very exciting. But yeah, other than that, guys, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Lenian.
I've been Shark Finnegan.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Time in Lavender Town, time to say our goodbyes. It's closing time, farewell my friends, I'll catch you on the flip
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.